We're talking about the gifts of Christmas because gifts do play such a big part of this time of the year. And I've got some interesting facts I want to give you here this morning. Does anybody like interesting facts? If you don't, you can take a nap and then your neighbor will wake you up when the interesting facts are over. Approximately 30 million live Christmas trees are bought each year in the United States of America. That's a lot of trees. And they say about 20 million fake trees are bought every year. And in case you don't know it, you don't have to buy a fake tree every year, right? You can let it go to the next year. They only got my money one time, and I've had the same tree for a long time. Those trees, those live trees, you know that they have to spend about 15 years growing those before they're ready to cut and be used at Christmas. 1.76 billion candy canes are made each year in the United States alone. That's a bunch of candy canes. Nearly 2 billion Christmas cards are sent every year in the United States. That's a lot of Christmas cards. Americans will spend about $6 billion on Christmas decorations this year. Let me say that again. $6 billion spent on Christmas decorations. I say that's why they start putting them out at the end of the summer, right, in the stores. That's a lot of money. 86% of Americans will buy gifts for friends or family. And the UPS drivers will get to bear the brunt of that as they will deliver approximately 630 million packages in the United States of America. So when you see a brown streak go by, pray for grace for them, right? They're very busy this time of the year. And about $630 billion were spent on gifts in the United States in 2015 at Christmas time. There's a lot of emphasis on gifts. I read a funny story I wanted to share with you. Is it okay if we laugh at church? Would that be all right? All right. After being away on a business trip for a week before Christmas, Tom thought it would be nice to bring his wife home a little gift. Can all the women say amen? How about some perfume, he asked the cosmetics clerk. She showed him a bottle costing $50. Now, y'all listen to this because the early service didn't get this, and I thought it was a good joke. He said, that's a bit much. So she returned with a smaller bottle for $30. That's still quite a bit, Tom mused. Growing disgusted, the clerk, I imagine she was female, don't you think, brought out a tiny $15 bottle. Tom grew agitated. What I mean, he says, is I'd like to see something that's really cheap. At which she handed him a mirror. I like that. So maybe they just were asleep in early service. Okay. Here's another one. A guy bought his wife a beautiful diamond ring for Christmas. All the women said, ooh. After hearing about this extravagant gift, a friend of his said, I thought she wanted one of those sporty four-wheel drive vehicles. She did, he replied, but where was I going to find a fake Jeep? One thing I know for sure, that our Father in heaven doesn't give fake or cheap gifts. Can you say amen? The Bible says in James chapter 1, 17, that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. How many of you know that anything that's good in our life is from God? Every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Now, in our humanity, all of us, if we were honest, would probably say that we would like to get a little bit of something at this time of the year. I mean, everything out there is telling you to get something, right? And so they put everything in front of you, and people make lists. Maybe adults make secret lists, right? Or you drop hints. Maybe that's what you do. Do you drop hints to the people in your house? And my daughter doesn't drop hints. She just tells you straight out. She takes pictures and then shows you what she wants, right? Let me read you an actual letter from a kid to Santa. It said, Dear Santa, I'm not going to ask for a lot, but here's my list. The Etch-A-Sketch Animator, 2 packs of number 2 pencils, Crayola fat markers, and the big gift, I want my very own flat-screen LED TV. And then he thought about it. He said, well, maybe you could drop the pencils. I don't want to be too selfish. And this was what a 4-year-old said. He said, Dear Santa, I'll take anything because I haven't been too good this year. I don't know what you're hoping to get this Christmas season, But let me assure you that your Father in heaven has wonderful gifts that He's prepared for you. And He can't wait to impart them into your life. I think we're going to be surprised one day when we get to heaven. You ever been to a house after Christmas was over and there were still presents under the tree? Kids especially, you know, like if we're going to another person's house, we're going to grandparents' house, there's still presents under the tree. I remember when my kids were little, they'd come in there and they'd be like, you know, who are those presents for? Why are there still presents under the tree? I believe we're going to be surprised when we get to heaven one day at all of the unclaimed gifts that our Father had prepared for us. And He was just waiting on us to lay claim to them. He's a good God, and He's a good Father, and He has good things prepared for you. You may say, Stephen, you don't know what we're going through this time of year in my family. You know, it doesn't really matter if it's Christmas or Easter or Thanksgiving or somewhere in between. Every day, God is there. And every day, God has everything we need. So no matter what we're going through in life right now, how many of you know that God's big enough to handle it? And He said, there's nothing. Everybody say nothing. There is nothing that we're facing. There's nothing that we're going through that God isn't big enough to handle it. If we'll open the door and let Him get involved in our situation. So this December, this Christmas season, know that God has good things that He wants to give into you and to your family's lives. You know, every year, talking about all the money that's spent on gifts and the energy, and it's crazy out there. But there's a lot of money and time and energy put into gifts that within just a matter of days, well, sometimes days or weeks, is going to be outdated. Does anybody remember a thing called an iPhone 3? Well, there was a 4, and then there was a 5, and then there was a 6, and there was a 7. And if the Lord tarries, probably there'll be an 8 and a 9 and a 10. But how many of you know so many things that in this life that we set our affection on and we labor to get or to give, they're here today and they're gone tomorrow? Things that bring temporary gratification, particularly when I was a kid, I can remember things that I just had to have. Hopefully we grow a little as we get older, right? Immaturity I'm talking about. And those things that you had to have, you couldn't live without them. And then you got them, and it was just a matter of time that spike of instant gratification began to subside and come down the other side. And then our flesh, what? Begins to want something else. It begins to want more. And so much time is spent on things that are temporary, that will be outdated, that are fading away, that aren't lasting. Didn't Jesus tell us to not pursue those types of things, but to pursue eternal things? Can I tell you today, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, but that everything that God gives us, every good and perfect gift that He gives us is an eternal gift. It's a life-changing gift. It's gifts that we need, and they are necessary for us in this life. How many of you know that God's gifts are powerful, and they're life-changing? How many of you want some of those gifts in your life? 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this, that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has conceived or imagined all of the amazing things that God has planned for His children. How many of you know we need a right view of God? See, the view that we have of God has everything to do with our relationship with Him. And what He's telling us is that He has amazing things prepared for us to walk into because He loves us that much. We're on a series called The Gifts of Christmas, and last week Pastor Elaine talked about the gift of hope. And next week we'll be talking about the gift of joy. But today I want to talk to you about God's gift of love. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Now, Paul said his gift was indescribable. So my job this morning is try to describe an indescribable gift. So y'all pray for me. How many of you know the love of God is indescribable? Paul just said, look, I'm just going to say thank you for it, even though I can't describe it. It's so amazing. So we're going to talk about God's gift of love. Point number one this morning is this. The Father's love has been given. Just in case you don't know, the God of all of the universe has given His amazing, unfathomable, breathtaking love to every human that's ever inhabited this planet. I'm here to tell you some good news today, and that is that God loves you, and He has given His gift of love to you. And my question for you this morning is, do you truly believe that God loves you? Let me ask you another question. How do you know? How do you know if someone really loves you? Because if you truly love someone, there will be evidence of that love. And that evidence comes in a form of what I would call a love expression. And I would say that there's two major categories of love expressions. The first evidence of someone's love for you or your love for someone else falls under the category of communication. If we love someone, we are going to express that by saying it to them. We're going to use the language and the words that God has given us to begin to speak and let them know. How many of you know it's important to communicate your love to the people in your life? The people in your life need to know. They need the evidence of you communicating with them, either through the words that you say or the words that you write. But we communicate our love. The second category of love expressions, it goes a little deeper. And that is demonstration. Not only do we need to communicate our love, but we've heard it 1,000 times that actions speak louder than words. Because you can fool, I can't say all that. What, fool some of the people some of the time? I don't know what it is. But how many know you can say something that you don't really mean? So if I truly love you, then my actions need to back up with what my mouth is saying. There will be a demonstration. There will be actions that affirm what I am saying to you. I know I've heard it more than once. Don't tell me, show me. All right? Don't tell me you're going to cut the grass. Let's see it cut. Right? Okay? So, communication and demonstration. How do you know someone loves you? Well, let me ask you this. How do you know that God loves you? The same two ways. From the beginning of time, God has been communicating His love to all of mankind. From the garden until today, God has been using His voice to tell us how much He loves us. His Spirit today will speak to you. If you will close your eyes and find a quiet place, and if you ask Him, say, God, do you love me? Do you know what He will do? He will speak to you in your spirit, and He will tell you how much He loves you. The Bible says that Jeremiah 31:3, long ago the Lord said to Israel, the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. He said it, and He's been saying it every day. We only have to listen. He speaks it out of His Spirit, and how many of you know that He speaks it out of His Word? This is God's love letter to us. You open up these pages and you can't begin to read any page in this book and not begin to hear of the Father's love for you. He communicates His love to us. But not only does He communicate His love to us, God demonstrates His love for us. See, God's love for us is huge. And huge love doesn't stop with just communication. It provides proof of itself through demonstration. See, God spared no expense in demonstrating His love for you and I. In 1 John 4:9, it says this, in this the love of God was demonstrated. In this the love of God was manifested. In this one action, the love of God was revealed. The curtain was pulled back on how much God really loves you and I. That God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might find life, or that we might live through Him. Life today and hope for tomorrow. Overcoming abundant life on this earth and eternal life forever with the Father. In this action, God demonstrated to us how much He loved us. See, 2,000 years ago, on the first Christmas, as Mary and Joseph And she was with child as they came into Bethlehem. They had returned there to pay their taxes. And they couldn't find any place to stay. And in obscurity that night, in that stable, there with those animals, as that virgin mother who was with child by the Holy Spirit, she was the entryway that God used to demonstrate His love as the baby was born and the King of all kings was announced to the shepherds in the fields that night. As Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes and he was laid in the manger, the Scripture tells us that in this act, God demonstrated how much He loved us. Jesus and the Father conspired together to reveal their love to humanity long before humanity ever existed. The Scripture says that Jesus was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. We will create them and we will love them so deeply that we will give the greatest gift that's ever been given so that they may have fellowship with us. Paul prayed a prayer for the people at Ephesus in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 that goes like this. He says this, because here's the thing. I say, do you believe God loves you? And you'll say, yes, I know God loves me. But we said that this love is indescribable. And Paul said it like this. He said, may your roots go down deep, or may you be rooted in the soul of God's marvelous love. God wants us in these days for our roots to go down to a deeper place of experiencing His love in our lives. Verse 18, and may you have the power to understand. He's saying, look, you don't understand. You don't understand the depth of love that the Father has for you. Can I tell you again, God loves you. God loves you. And may you have the power to understand, as all of God's people should. What he's saying there is not all of God's people do. They do not understand the depth of God's love. How wide and how long and how high and how deep His love really is. Y'all remember that song, Deep and Wide? I think that was a fountain, but it wasn't love. But it's a fountain of love. How about that? There's a fountain flowing. How many of you know His love is deep, and it is wide, and it is high, and it's yours? God loves you. May you know the love of Christ, though it is so great you will never fully understand it. Isn't that an amazing statement? May you know. So this is what Pastor Paul was doing for the body of Christ at Ephesus. He was telling them this. He's like, look. He's like, you're in the family. He said, but you don't get it. You don't understand how deep and how wide and how great the love of the Father is for you. You don't understand the relationship. And I'm praying for you that your eyes would be open and that you would be able to understand. Even though that I know that you'll never fully understand how great God's love is for you. But to the degree that we understand and to the degree that we walk in the revelation of and to the degree that we embrace the love of the Father, it determines the level of victory that we will walk in this life. God loves you. Encapsulated in John 3:16 that we know so well is the enormity of God's love. Talking about what Paul said, the width, the depth, the breadth, the height. The width of God's love can be seen, for God so loved the world. Let me say that again. Maybe one of the most powerful words in this whole verse is the smallest word, and that is so. God didn't just love the world. God so loved the world. God so loved the world. Do you know that you are so loved? You are so loved. Say that to yourself. Say, I am so loved. For God so loved the world. Not just one race of people. Not just one nation. But He so loved the entire world. That is the width of God's love. That He gave. His love moved Him to action. That He gave His only Son. He would go to any length possible. That is the length of His love. To give the most amazing gift and sacrifice. That whosoever believes in Him. I read it one time. Where a guy said, I'm glad that God used the word whosoever. How many know God knows what He's doing? The guy said this because he said, if He would have put my name there, If he would have put Tom Smith right there, then I know the enemy would have told me that there was another Tom Smith that he loved. He said, whosoever. How many is a whosoever? That whosoever believes in him, there is no depth that his love cannot reach. And the height of his love, that we should not perish, but we should have everlasting life. That we can live for him and with him forever. I want to talk for just a few minutes about a few of the characteristics of this gift of love that God has given us. Because we need a deeper understanding of this love. Because this world tries to define for us what love really is. How many of you know that this world doesn't understand what true love is? But the world will try to tell you in every song, in every sitcom, in every cinema that you go into, they will try to tell you what true love is. But if we want to know what true love is, there's only one place that we can go to get that definition, and that is God's Word. Because the Scripture says that God is love. Do you know that you cannot even truly love if you don't have God? God is love. The more important things are in this life, how many of you know there wind up being more counterfeits of that thing? There are so many counterfeits to love. And when I'm saying today, God loves you, to the degree that you understand what love truly is how that affects what you're thinking right now. Because you may have been with someone for a long period of time and they said they loved you, but then they betrayed you. Right? But if someone broke your heart or someone did something that you haven't been able to forgive. And our concept of love is so messed up. We need to go to the Word of God and find out what it is that God said His love is like and this gift that He's offering to us. So real quickly, I want to tell you a few of these characteristics. And these are probably not anything that you don't know. But I want to remind you about His gift of love. This isn't in your notes. You want to jot it down, you can. But letter A, the Father's love is uncaused. It's uncaused. See, our life experience teaches us that we have to earn love. That we must meet certain standards or conditions that will cause others to love us. That love is cause and effect. The world says, I'll love you if you're good looking. I'll love you if you're smart or wealthy or important. Or I'll love you if you meet my needs. Or as long as you meet my needs, I'll love you. I'll love you if you don't mess up. There are endless ifs that are hidden in the world's love because the world's love is conditional love. That is a weight that you and I were not created to carry. That if we fail to meet the conditions, then we are unloved. See, God's love is without cause. It's unprompted and it's uninfluenced just because He chooses to love us. Think about this for a second. Listen to what I'm about to say. There is nothing you can do to cause God to love you more than He does right now. Does that make you squirm a little bit inside? Let me say it again. There is nothing you can do to cause God to love you more than He does right now. Now think about this. There is nothing you can do to cause God to love you less than He does right now. That you may be rooted and grounded in this truth. To know the love of God. That it's not based on the ifs in my life. It's based on who He is. It is a love that comes to us without cause. It's a because He chooses to love me. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. Can you say amen? Aren't you thankful that it's not dependent on the ifs in my life? No greater achievement, no greater beauty, no wider recognition can cause God to love me more. Let me go ahead and say this. Not even greater levels of spirituality will cause God to love me more. He loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. He loved me before I showed up. He loves me without cause. Isn't that good news? Ephesians 1:4 says, long ago, even before He made the world, God loved us. We couldn't do anything for Him then. He loved us before He made the world. And He chose us then also according to the good pleasure of His will. Why does He love me? Because it's His good pleasure and it's His will. That's enough. 1 John 4:19 says this, we love Him because He first loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. Letter B or 2, I've got these mixed up. So, second one. Not only is the Father's love uncaused, the Father's love is unending. Can you say unending? Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting, unending, eternal love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. See, God is love. It's His character to love. And because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and because He can't change, how many of you know He continues to love me forever? Lamentations 3:22 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. He will never stop loving us. Many of us, maybe in this life, walked with people for a while who at some point their love for us ran out. Can I tell you this morning, no matter who you are, what you've been through, or what side of the tracks that you're from, or how you feel about yourself, whether you come to this church or you don't come to this church usually, that God's love for you will never run out. The scripture says this, David wrote this, he said, even if those that were supposed to be closest to me, to be the most relied on in life, he said this, even if my mother and my father forsake me, you will take me up. That's the love of God. So if you have no one else this Christmas, if all you have is God, it's more than enough. His love for us is unending. I don't know if girls do this or just guys do this when you're young and hoping that she'll love you. And you get the rose, you know. Loves me, loves me not. Loves me, loves me not. I tell you a quicker way, guys, if you just want to get down to it, you just flip a coin. It's a little bit faster. That's the uncertainty of the love in this world. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. Even in the best marriages on days, you're like, you know? Everybody know what I'm talking about? But if we had a rose called the Rose of Sharon, and we begin to take the petals off this, it would go something like this. He loves me. I messed up today. He loves me. I failed my wife. He loves me. I made a mess of things. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Can you say amen? Let her see. The Father's love is unchanging. We live in a fast-paced world. Things are constantly changing. But one thing you can be sure of, there is one constant in this life that is unchanging, and that is God. Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord, I am unchanged. He does not change. Same yesterday, today, and forever. If we could graph His love, there would be a straight line that ran across the top of the graph. It would never plunge. It would never dip. It would stay constant all the way across the top of that graph because God's love for us is unchanging. It doesn't matter if we blow it. It doesn't matter. Listen, if we do it all right, His love for us is unchanging. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no change or any shade made by turning. On our good days and on our bad days, God loves us the same. Let me say this, before, during, and after we stumble, and through every stumble to follow, His love remains intact and perfect. I'm not saying He doesn't want us to change. And I'm not saying that He wants us to be a mess. Do y'all follow what I'm saying? But listen, we hear the other extreme of that all the time. Because the devil talks to us plenty much. Anybody know what I'm saying? And what we hear consistently and what is ingrained into our lives as humans is that we have to perform to measure up. We have to be good enough to receive it. And what I'm telling you is this, regardless of if we do it all right or if we do it all wrong, God's love for us is unchanged. Just think about Jesus. Jesus was here, and he said one of his primary reasons for coming to the earth, besides paying the price for our sin, was to reveal the Father to us. You know that. So when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, read it over and over and over again, and you see how he talked, and you see how he walked, and you see how he responded, and you see how he reacted, and you hear the things that he said. Everything that he did and everything that he said was all to reveal God to us. That's who God is. And think about the last days of his life here on this earth and the people that he invested himself into. The people that he had walked with and talked with and slept with and been persecuted with. The people that he had taught on the sermon. They had been with him at the Transfiguration. All of that, of all people, of his disciples, they should have been getting it right. But down at the very end, Thomas doubted him. Peter denied him. Judas betrayed him and the disciples went to sleep on it. And if you charted his love for them on a graph, it would remain constant because they needed his love to bring them up and out of their failure. When he rose from the tomb, and I can imagine being a fly on the wall and seeing him and Peter face to face for the first time. Jesus didn't even have to tell him because he was just known that he said, "Do you love me?" That's what I want to know. Do you love me? God's love for us is unchanging. Letter D, the Father's love is unhindered. The Father's love is unhindered. There is nothing in this world that can stop the gift of God's love in our life. Except one thing. What's that one thing? Us. Outside of that, there is nothing in this world that we can face that can overcome or overpower the love of God. No mean person, no mean boss, no situation in this earth. Paul said in Romans 8, he said this, "Who shall separate?" Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? So he goes through all of these things. I think he was thinking up everything he could. Now the Holy Spirit was inspiring him, but he said this, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. He didn't say we just get by, but because of the love of God in our life, it is unhindered in our life. He says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, angels or rulers, things present or things to come, or powers or height or depth or anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I think that about covers it. There is nothing greater than the love of God. That's why he said that we need to pray that we understand it, that we would be rooted in the love of God, that our relationship with the Father would be contained in his love. And lastly, letter E, the Father's love is uncomplicated. He simply, profoundly, deeply, forever loves you. 1 John 4:16 says, "We know," everybody say, "We know," how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in him. God is love. And all who live in love live in God. All who live in love live in God. If you don't believe that God loves you, where does that place you? All who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. We are the object of his love. We are the pursuit of his love. And we are to be the recipient of God's gift of love. Which leads us to point number two. His love must be accepted. It's not enough that he gave it. The person to whom he's given it to must choose to receive it. There are gifts that are given all of the time that are never enjoyed and never experienced, because the person who received the gift, for one reason or another, never opened the gift. Maybe a gift was given and the person didn't know the gift was given. You ever got something in the mail? Somebody in the house got something before you did and it got stuck somewhere? You could have a big old check in an envelope somewhere that had been given to you. But if you didn't know it belonged to you, you would never reap the benefits of it. Hopefully, if you're here today, you know that God has given you love, so you know that. Other times, people neglect gifts that are given to them. I'll get to it later. I'll get to it later. I'll open it later because there's other things in life that are more important to me right now than what was given to me. Don't neglect the gift of God. Other times, gifts are given and they're pushed away. They're rejected. Because the person on the receiving end doesn't feel like that they can receive what is being given to them. I'm not worthy to receive that. I don't measure up. I don't have enough value to take what it is that you're trying to give me. For whatever the reason, I implore you this in this moment to open the gift of love that God has given you. See, it says right here, from God to you. His love is personal. Your name is on it. He wrote your name in red. He wants you to receive His love. He wants us to take it and He wants us to open it. And He wants us to experience the fullness of what He has for us. So here's the thing. If y'all could go ahead and start some music because I got to close. And you know I can't start closing unless there's music playing. So if they don't play music, y'all are going to be here for a long time. Here's the thing. In order to receive it, you have to believe it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believes. So if you don't truly believe that He loves you and that this gift is for you. I'll be honest with you. For many years in my life, I grew up in a Christian home. My parents are awesome. They loved me. I grew up in church and all that. And I had a relationship with God. How many of you know that you can be in the family of God and not feel loved? For many years, I didn't feel like God really loved me. I felt like He put up with me. And His Son died. He shed His blood, and I ask about it and He's got to put up. You know what I'm saying? Now, let me say it another way. God not only loves you, He likes you. Can I say that? God likes you. Say, God likes me. Do you believe that? God likes me. Because that gets really personal. For God so loved the world. I can believe that God loved the world, but when it gets to me, I know me. And I know what I say, and I know what I do, and I know how I act. And I know who I am. And I know that He knows who I am. And for a long time, I didn't feel like God liked me. Until He began to reveal Himself, and He began to help me take the lid off of His love. So here's the greatest battle in life that you will ever fight. Because your relationship with God comes down to this. Do you know Him and do you know His love for you? Do you know Him as Father and do you walk as His child? Okay, so Jesus, His only begotten Son, was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. And in that moment when He came out of the water, there was an expression of the love of the Father. He began to communicate verbally and say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He loved Him and He was pleased with Him, and Jesus hadn't done a miracle yet. His ministry was about to start. He hadn't done any miracles or healings or any of those things. And God was affirming His love for Him. And not only did He communicate it, then He demonstrated it, right? Then a dove came out of the sky where everybody could see it. God was showing, the Father was showing His love for His Son. But then what happened? I'm His Son. I'm loved by Him. And then immediately He was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness. And He got out in the wilderness. And if you think about all the temptations that the devil threw at Him, all of them began with this: if you're truly the Son of God. The enemy works overtime to try to convince us that we're truly not loved by God. That we truly don't belong to Him. Because he knows he has no power over a son or daughter who understand the love of the Father. And that they can walk with Him and they can talk with Him. And on their worst day, On their worst day, they can come boldly before the throne of their Father. On their worst day. Because God loves going like this. And the enemy's over here with an Etch-a-Sketch trying to convince you that it looks like a heart monitor. You know, God's love for you is like this. It's up, down, all around. It's not dependent upon what I do. It's not dependent upon what I say. God loves me. And listen, when I mess up and when I create issues in my life, it's when I need God the most. But when the devil says, oh, you really don't, God's mad at you, you know, you got to get everything together. I see people, people know that I work for the church. And so sometimes they feel like they've got to, you know, tell me. They see me in Walmart. Oh, I'm so sorry I hadn't been at church. If I run into you at Walmart, let's just see. Talk about the weather, okay? No, I want to know if you're going through something, that's for sure. Just like you would me. But it's like, I just got some things going on, and I'm just trying to get things together. And as soon as I do, I'll be back. I tell them now, I say, well, I won't see you. That's what I tell them. I won't see you. Because if you try to get things together without God, it never works out. So what the devil tries to do is the devil tries to convince us that we're not truly loved, that God's love is not uncaused, and it is not unending, and it is not unchanging, and it is not unhindered, and it is not uncomplicated, because he wants us to think that we got to jump through all these hoops and do everything right. And here's the thing about it. We're fooling ourselves anyway if we think that we're good enough to deserve the love of God. Oh, I've had a great week. I kept my devotion every day. I prayed 5 extra minutes every day. I read extra chapters. I was nice to my wife. I did all these things. So God must really love me. How many of you know that that's deception? God loves me. He loves me. He loves good people and he loves bad people. He loves people that we can't love. But it's his love that draws us to him. It's his love that we have to receive. If we will learn to accept his love, Jesus loves me. This I know, for he tells me so and so and so. If you give him the opportunity, he will affirm his love to you. Have you ever thought that you were unlovely and the Spirit of God confirmed how lovely you were? That just blows me away sometimes. When people are angry at me and I've made mistakes and I've blown it and all these, and everybody around me is not feeling exactly lovely towards me because I haven't been acting very lovely. You know what I'm talking about? Do you know God loves me just the same? That's why he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open the door, this is it right here. You got to open the door. You got to open the door and let him come in. Don't look in the box because there's nothing really in there. I'm just trying to fake you out. There's love in here. How you know this love's bigger than this? But look, we don't need to just let the love of God come in the front door. We need the love to fill the whole house. See, if there's areas of our life that we haven't let the love of God penetrate, what God is telling us is this: his love has been extended. See, it's only his love that will change us. It's only his presence that will change us. He wants us to be conformed into the image of Jesus. But we're not going to look like Jesus if God's not working on us. And God can't be working on us if we're running out here working on ourselves and trying to measure up. We got to come boldly to the throne of grace. Find mercy and grace to help in our time of need. How many of you want to accept the love that God has for you? The life-changing, transforming love of God. And I'll close with this. Point number 3. I'm going to do it in 15 seconds. And that is, the love of God was meant to be regifted, if you will. The love of God was meant to be shared. How many know you can't give what you don't got? If you're not loved, you can't love. You got to fill up so you can pour out. But see, when God is loving us into the image of Jesus, when he's loving us into transformation, guess what? We can go out and we can take the very gift that we have received and we can begin to give it away. You know what an heirloom is? Regifting is not really a good term because I know what you regift, right? You regift that thing you didn't want to begin with. Be honest. How many of you are going to regift something this year? You got some stuff stuck up in the closet. You know what you're going to do. A better way to say that is it's to be passed down. Think about a family heirloom, something that's priceless. Can't put a number on it. You treasure it. You value it. It was given to you. so that you can in turn give it to someone else that would make such an impact on their life. Could we stand together? The gift of God's love. Are you thankful for His love? God loves you. His love will transform your life. It's uncaused, undeserved, but we're so thankful that He chose to love us. Amen. Let's just lift our hands right now. Father, we thank You for Your gift of love. God, I pray, God, we pray together, God, as a church, God, as Paul prayed at Ephesus, God, that we would come to a greater understanding, that our roots would go down deep into the love of God, into the love of God, that our roots would go down deep, and we would know that we know, God, of Your love. Reveal more of Yourself, reveal more of Your love, God, to us. And God, use us as agents to bear Your love to this world. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said?
Amen.
Now, you have a homework assignment. I'm a teacher too. Love somebody before you leave today. Express it. Say it and demonstrate it. I don't know how you're going to do it. God bless you. We love you so much. Look forward to seeing you back here tonight.